everyone. Welcome to Superwomen. Today's guest is the incredibly talented Mary Lawless Lee. She is the founder and face of her fashion blog, Happily Gray. What started as a passion project for Mary quickly grew into a well-respected brand with a loyal and impressive combined social presence of over 2.6 million strong. The brand now encompasses not only fashion, but lifestyle, travel, fitness, service, e-commerce, and most recently, retail. Welcome to the podcast, Mary.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here and getting to chat with you.
I am too. I've been a huge fan from afar until I DM'd you, until I slid into your DMs and then got to... And then you replied and I was like, oh shit, yay, she wants to talk to me.
It goes both ways. I can still remember my first Rebecca Minkoff show that I attended in New York. So long history of being a fan and wearing your clothes and pieces and now getting to experience homeware and such an amazing evolution.
Yes, it's been a long journey for both of us because you were part of the early crew of influencers that came to the show and people are like, excuse me, what are these people doing here? And I was like, trust me, they matter, okay?
I know.
So let's dive in. What inspired you to start Happily Gray and what is the meaning behind the name?
So, you know, I went to school for nursing. A lot of people don't know this, but I actually studied nursing at UT Austin and was a critical care nurse for 7 years. And I always had this creative side and was always really passionate about writing and specifically fashion. And so I was about 3 years into working in critical care. And the great thing about a nursing schedule is you're on for 3 days and you're off for 4 days. So I had a lot of time and I am one of these people who likes to stay busy. And so I just started writing. I started a blog. I started a website. This was over 10 years ago when the concept of blogging influencer was very like what you're saying. People look at you like, excuse me, what are you doing and who do you think you are? And I just started writing and I quickly realized that there needed to be some sort of visual component with these stories that I was writing about. And most of it was around styling and, you know, kind of following trends and writing on trends. And so I started getting my friends and family to take pictures. And it was also at the time that Pinterest was just coming online. And that kind of snowballed once we started using Pinterest and really driving traffic. And at the time, I had zero idea what any of it meant or like an understanding of it. But as the years went on, I quickly realized like that this was such a strong form of marketing and watching it evolve was just like pretty wild. And getting to be a part of that was pretty wild, but it was also at the time that juggling nursing and it always felt like a creative outlet. And I, for a while, balanced both of those. And it was a really hard decision to kind of make take that leap of faith to totally quit nursing. But about 5 years into blogging is when I finally decided to transition to full time and really, you know, go for it and monetize. And at that time, Instagram was launching. It was even bizarre. I remember the first post on Instagram, I didn't realize that it was a public platform. And so I posted a picture on Instagram thinking I was like posting it and sending it to my friend. And she immediately called me and was like, take that down. This is like the public can see this. It's wild to think back to those first experiences and you know, not knowing so much back then and what, you know, now where we are today in this digital world and what, you know, being an influencer really means and how it's evolved over the years.
I think about that a lot today when all I hear about is crypto and Web3 and NFTs. And I'm like, oh my God, whatever we thought, you know, how Instagram was unfamiliar to us. And now it's like integrated into my movements every day with my hands, right? Automatically grabbing my phone to go to social media, good or bad. Like all these new things are going to be a part of that ecosystem, which is frightening. So when you decided to go all in, were you already making money, and was there a, okay, good, I can pay for this, you know, with my talent, with Happily Gray? Or were you just like, here's a leap of faith, man, and I'm going to do my best?
It was definitely a huge leap of faith, because, you know, there was still so much uncertainty of what this influencer world really looked like and, you know, the path. I was making money at that point. It was, you know, probably around the same amount as I was making as a nurse. It was definitely a leap of faith. And it actually, I think the one thing that really kind of nudged me to go for it was the fact that nursing, you know, I was able to still maintain my license. And I genuinely thought, like, I will always come, you know, I will eventually come back to nursing, but let me explore this path and see where it goes. But it definitely, I never dreamed it would evolve and grow as it has. And it was kind of a moment of vulnerability and just really going for it and realizing, you know, there is no guarantee that this will work. And I definitely, my parents were like, you know, my dad who helped pay for my college education, which was a really big deal for my parents. It's a really big deal to you know, go through that. They were looking at me like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And especially because, you know, not understanding too what I even was doing at that point. So it was a huge leap of faith. But I definitely think that just like being able to still maintain my nursing license and, you know, thinking like, okay, maybe one day I'll come back to it. It just was, I never dreamed that it would kind of evolve as it has.
I mean, it's incredible. When I go to your site and I see all the categories you know, with what you sell, your blog, your Instagram, I mean, the wealth of content you produce is incredible. When you went to your parents and you said, this is what I'm doing, you know, I feel like so many people don't do something because they give in to other people's desires or even the pressure of people's desires, plus they paid for your college, you know?
Right.
What would you say made you hold strong and made you say, okay, this isn't a mistake? Because I think that people sometimes regret those choices that they made because they listened to someone else who was like, what are you doing? This is not how you're going to make money. What is a blogger anyways, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because you asked me at the beginning of this, what is the meaning behind Happily Gray? And I actually just finished my first book. We just turned the manuscript in, and the book is about that question, and which kind of is intertwined to this as well. And, you know, this following your intuition and your gut. And the whole idea around this book is about getting back to that like childlike wonder that we tend to lose as we become adults. And when I started writing and blogging and really opening up, I felt the most alive. And I still remember the day I was sitting in the bathtub and I was trying to figure out what to call my blog. And I was thinking through my childhood years and teens and early 20s and growing up in a very small town where everything was just kind of black or white, one way or the other, right or wrong. And it felt constricting, and I kind of felt like I was in a box. And it wasn't till stepping outside of that and realizing that not everything in life is that way. And the gray area felt safe to me, and it felt creative. And that's where I felt the happiest. And that was where the name originated from. It's just like learning to exist in this gray space. And no, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know how things would turn out, but that was okay. And in that phase of my life, it almost felt like relief to be in that gray and to not necessarily have to fit into this box or that box, and to feel like I was, you know, could be creative and kind of go down this new pathway.
I love that.
Which scared the hell out of my parents.
You know, what's funny is when I approached my parents and I said, I'm moving to New York, I'm going to be a designer, they're like, okay, whatever. Like, but they also had this, like, it was almost to the other extreme. You're like, don't you think this is a stupid idea? I don't even have anywhere to live. It's just funny how, you know, and my parents, you know, my dad was a doctor, my mom was a nurse. And so you'd think like they would have this, you will be a successful, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I always love hearing the stories of people that change careers and look where you are now. It's amazing, you know. So how and when did you know, okay, I have to expand? Because it's not comfortable for everybody, nor is it easy, and it takes cash and capital and, you know, the brainiac side of things. So I'd love to dive into when you said, okay, it's time, and how you either taught yourself or got help to do it.
Delegating and, you know, letting someone help was probably the biggest hardship that I faced once I realized that, you know, this is transitioning, could possibly transition into a brand, and what was kind of at stake and being able to expand past just fashion and street style. So that letting someone else in and taking the reins was one of the hardest bridges to cross and still is to this day. Like I like to micromanage the hell out of everything. I think just naturally what I realized early on is authenticity, as much as that word gets used, it is really important. And I realized that letting people in and to see both sides of the picture was really important to me. I think too, just coming from that medical background and being in those like crazy situations in critical care and being so close to death and so close to how fragile life can be, I wanted to have that authenticity in what I was doing. I wanted to show both sides. I wanted to be vulnerable. And it definitely isn't easy doing that. But that's when, at that moment, is really when I started opening the door more and really sharing more of my life, and not just like street style and fashion and the pretty picture, but showing like the evolution of getting to that pretty picture and styling and letting people see. Like when I quit nursing, I had just gotten divorced. I was early to mid 20s and lived in this like shithole apartment where I was just saving money, trying to, you know, figure out like what the next plan was. And it really at that point is when I started like opening up and letting people see that, you know, there is another side, that Instagram is such a highlight reel, but it's not always reality. And I think that's when it really started to evolve and there really started to be a tone to connect with and a brand. And that's when we started expanding content and I started growing my team at that point. I first brought on an assistant just to kind of help me with like breaking down boxes at 10 p.m., which I was doing at the time, or I would work around the clock. I was single at that point. I would work till 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. And so I brought on someone and she helped with all things with like the pictures, just all the day-to-day stuff. And that's when we started getting into beauty and skincare and traveling a ton. I started doing travel blogs and really just evolving the content as it evolved with my life and trying to kind of show people both sides of the story.
I've so appreciated your realness, and I think you've done such a great job from the beginning. And I think obviously now being real and vulnerable, people are doing that because they know that's the starting point for connectivity, for community, for people being authentic.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, sorry to interrupt this podcast, but I wanted to make you aware of an incredible launch from my dear friend Mary Lawless Lee. The brand is called Nima. So Nima is a sustainable luxury skincare collection created for mothers and for their families. Their mission is clean and effective pregnancy and postpartum solutions for wherever you are in your motherhood journey. By combining luxury ingredients with science and focusing on meaningful conversations around maternal wellness, Nima creates a safe space for mothers with an inclusive, mama-led community where all topics are welcome without judgment. They have three products currently available: the Stretch Mark Cream, the Scar Treatment, and the Nipple and Lip Balm. All are vegan, hypoallergenic, and dermatologist approved, and feel so good on your skin. It's the perfect set for the new mom or mama-to-be, and you can purchase their website, nemah.com, and use the code RMSuperwomen at checkout for 15% off. If you're tired of worrying about the ingredients you're putting on your body, I can wholeheartedly attest her product is amazing and I can't wait for you to try it.
So let's dive into challenges, because I'm sure that there have been plenty as you went from blogging to building your brand. You can pick out some of the select few, but what have you faced and what have you learned from those challenges, or some of your biggest ones?
I'll just start most recently. One of the biggest challenges that I bet a lot of people in this space would echo is boundaries, which, you know, is kind of broad, but with social media, in the last year, boundaries, especially becoming a mom. And so now, like, you know, I'm a business owner, I'm a wife, but I'm also a mom now, and having boundaries and setting limits in this like never ending digital world and like your company existing in this space has been really difficult for me, and just trying to figure out how to balance it and giving myself the permission to unplug, and, you know, it's okay to not post for 2 or 3 days or 4 or 5 days. And so that has been a hard lesson, and it really didn't hit me until I became a mom. And, you know, once you become a mom, you're like, God, what did I do with all my time? I was so selfish before. Your time seems to evaporate. And that's when I realized that I having those boundaries with social media, and not letting it get toxic, and, keeping, you know, setting those limits was really, really important for me. Some of those now, it's simple things, but some of those are like, it's okay to go 2 or 3 days without posting. It's okay to not post on the weekends, which we don't anymore. I don't scroll Instagram. I go to accounts that I like to see, that I want to read. But as far as scrolling, I try not to. I keep notifications off. I have scheduled breaks. In October of this year, October of last year, I took a 7-day break off, which was amazing and so restorative. So I think that's been one of the biggest lessons that I've learned recently. Some of the other lessons, I would say, is, like I mentioned earlier, delegating and growing a team and learning how to, you know, manage a team and keep people inspired and motivated has definitely, and coming from a place where I didn't go to school for that, that's not necessarily something I know. I've had to kind of learn on the go. And so that's definitely been a hurdle. I think one of my mentors told me, if someone can do something 80% as good as you can, then delegate it, give it away.
Yes.
But it's hard. I think to like that founder dependence, you know, like when you're the founder of something, especially when it's creative, it's hard to, you know, get your hands out of things. And I'll find myself doing it and micromanaging my team. And I tell myself, like, step away. So that's definitely been a hurdle for me as well.
I want to know your secrets for saying no. I say no. And then I'm like, shit, is someone else saying yes? And taking that piece of the pot, you know, I think it's hard to say no sometimes. You're like, am I missing out because of that? Have you found that the benefits of saying no outweigh that FOMO or that whatever it is you think you're missing?
I definitely do. Since becoming a mom, that's made saying no a lot easier. But, you know, I think too, my manager agent always reminds me of like long-term strategy, long-term goals, like having those in the back of your mind. It's so easy, especially in the world that we live in and the pace, to like, yes. And, you know, I think that can like reminding yourself of, is this going to help me achieve that long-term goal and that long-term strategy? So I always look at things like that, and that will help me kind of decipher between the two. But yeah, it's so hard, and I do get FOMO. But being a mom and long-term strategy, long-term goals have definitely helped me to be able to say no.
Yeah, it's true. And I think the people I've seen achieve like long, solid success, they've not said yes to everything. They've been more careful and thoughtful about their choices. And I think where I've messed up in the past is I'm like, I'll just say yes to anything, you know, and then it's just not as well curated and edited, even from just the choices being made. So I love that you said that.
No, totally. I can feel when we say yes to too much, too many partnerships or too many, whatever it may be. I start to feel that the quality of what we're doing, you know, it's hard to maintain that. And I also think too, just in a world where there's so much right now, it moves so fast. I think that, you know, less is more, even just down to like some simple things like social media. If we take longer gaps in posting and we're not as visible at times, then the response when we are, there's open ears for it.
Yeah, totally. So speaking of open ears and you not having enough to do, I'd love to talk about your latest baby, your newest launch, Nima. So what is Nima, and tell me everything.
So I'm so excited about Nima. It's been an incredible project to work on. And so Nima is a skincare line for mom and babies. We launched 3 months ago. Hardly, not even. It's something that I've built with my husband, which, speaking of pivots and hardships, it's been both a hardship and a blessing, and he would say the same thing, but it's the first time that we've ever worked together. And that transition, he made a transition for work during the pandemic, and so we started working together on the skincare line. And it's something that I wanted to do since I became a mom, and I couldn't get my hands on the products that I wanted during my first pregnancy, and started doing market research and realized the voids in the market and the need for clean, sustainable, beautiful products for moms. And it was at the time that he was transitioning out of his job, and I was literally interviewing, trying to find someone to kind of help me build this brand outside of currently what we were already working on with our other brands. And the stars really aligned, and he was like, yeah, I will, you know, I'll come on and just see, you know, just help you, you know, get started till you find someone. And that was a year and a half ago. And he is even more involved than me and has really built this brand from the ground up. And it's been incredible. We launched 2 months ago with two skincare products for mom and baby, a stretch mark cream and a scar treatment. The scar treatment is actually where the whole idea of the brand originated, because I had two C-sections. My first C-section was emergent, and in postpartum, I was looking for a scar cream and could not find anything that was clean and effective. And I was shocked that I couldn't believe that there weren't any other options. And so that's where we started with formulating and started testing things. And then from there, we developed our stretch mark cream. And we have been working on 6 or 7 more formulas over the last 8 months and getting ready to roll some of those out. We're excited to move into the baby category next year. So yeah, it's been a whirlwind. But I finally feel like we're settling into this new pace and being able to kind of, you know, work together and build a team and just kind of learning on the go. I mean, neither of us have had much experience in, you know, formulations and really building out a skincare brand. And so it's been a massive learning curve and really humbling to, you know, even embark on this journey and try to figure out what the hell we're doing. And But it's been awesome. And so far the response has been great. And we're just excited to, you know, create more stuff and really build out the brand.
You know, I think the thing that's the most fun for me now is launching something that I don't know anything about, whether it was my book or launching home. And so I'm curious to know, as you launched into an arena where you didn't know formulations or, you know, how to make something safe for baby and mom, what were some of the things that surprised you in an entirely new business model?
You know, in developing formulas and working at that level, it was really about finding the right people. So one of the biggest pivots from the beginning of launching Nima was trying to find the right partner and manufacturer. And it was really surprising how many people we talked to that were ready to just whitelist formulas and throw a name on it and launch it.
Yeah.
And I was so disheartened. I mean, I'm not kidding. The first six or seven conversations, we were 6-8 months in a relationship with the partner. And I will never forget the night that Matt and I just kind of looked at each other. And in that moment, I knew he knew. And we knew what the right decision was. And we departed ways and started developing the line completely on our own with a European manufacturer that we developed their formulas from the ground up. And so I think, you know, that was probably one of the biggest lessons to learn. And I, you know, from the beginning, my one, like, absolute unwavering thing that I told Matt we had to do is create formulas that were clean and actually effective. I think in the mom community, it's even more important to, you know, this standard of trust and community. And I if I was going to do this, then I had to do it in the right way. And I wanted to bring products to life that actually were effective and could change the course of a mom's experience. And especially at a time when they're the most vulnerable and they you know, you just need to be able to lean in and trust that, you know, the products that you're using, they are what they say they are.
Yeah, I think enough can't be said about the products you choose during pregnancy, postpartum. Like, I remember I was sent something from a different company and it was like dripping everywhere and oily. And I was like a seal. And I was like, how is this, but like, you can't get dressed after you put this stuff on. Like, oh, I'm not gosh. Sure how it's, it doesn't even stay on my body. So
that's sorry to interrupt you. That is literally, I was like, we have to have a stretch cream that dries quick and that is not sticky. And that's, I was like, it can't ruin my clothes. Like, I need to be able to throw on clothes right after I like lather up my belly and go. And that was our first like goal when we were creating this formula.
Yeah, for sure. And then when you find that hero product, you're like, I'll use this forever. Like, fine, I don't have to put it on my scar tissue anymore, but I'll put it on my lips. I'll put it on my cheeks for a dewy glow. Like, I think that you learn to use these products and adapt them, because then if you love something, you know it works for other things.
I really hope that moms, you know, will try our products and know that they can trust them, and hopefully, you know, that lens that opens the door for you know, trying even more products. And I think that level of trust and community is what I was looking for as a new mom, and I hope that that's what we can provide.
You said a lot about community, and I know moms, as a mother, how vocal we can be, especially when it comes to products. So what have you found from the community, or have you felt like just a great connection to these women?
I mean, just that moment of, oh my God, she gets it. You know, just that realization that someone else has experienced what you've experienced, and that you're not alone. For me, when I became a mom with my first 2.5 years ago, I just wanted to feel like I wasn't alone, and I wanted to feel seen and understood. And so that's really that's the heart of why we have this community aspect to Nima. We have a plethora of blog posts and kind of education buckets for moms to come as a resource. And then we also have this side that we're continuing to build out that's more of a storytelling, mom sharing their stories, and that point of connection, I think, is really important. And that's what got me through the really hard times and the time things that I didn't, that were happening that I didn't understand. Like, why is my body doing this? Why is my infant like screaming? Why is it not sleeping? Like, just that mom community to say like, hey, I've been there. I've done that. And you're not alone.
Yeah. And some of the most vulnerable ups and downs and crazy, crazy things that until you're a mom, you're like, I wish people would have told me that.
Exactly.
Well, definitely high on my request for you is snotty nose chap faces. That would be a blessing if, because I am
especially
deep in that
in
right
New York.
My husband, who's been out of town for 3 weeks, was like, can you put some chapstick on that guy's face? I was like, I fucking do it every night. You think I'm an idiot? It doesn't heal. And he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay.
Oh my God. Especially in the city. You definitely need that. It's crazy how quickly their faces get so chapped and raw. Oh. The list of products that I swear it's like every single night. This is what Madison is, my husband. This is what we sit around and we talk about. We're like, as our kids go through these phases, we're like, oh my God, this is what, and then we'll like get carried away an hour later and we're like doing all this research. But yeah, it's, I'm so excited to expand into other products and hopefully be able to provide a little bit of like relief where moms need it.
Totally. So you mentioned working with your husband has been a blessing and it's been hard. What have you learned in doing that? And how have you been able to separate and keep, you know, I think my brother, who's my co-founder, you know, we went from being brother and sister to business partners and no sibling relationship or love. And now we're back to both. So I'm just curious to hear how you guys have managed.
Yeah, the first 6 months were really rocky. We have a very similar personality type. He is very driven and he is very, you know, headstrong, and so am I. And so we would get into, you know, these battles of, you know, this way versus that way. And especially with it being kind of like him, you know, him joining forces with my existing company, it was such a power struggle for a bit. But I think where it really, really have learned, and the key for us has been just respect to listen. And as much as you're listening, you know, as much as you're talking, to be able to listen and also knowing our lanes and really leaning into like his strengths and weaknesses and my strengths and weaknesses, and kind of like giving each other our own lanes. For the most part now, this took a while to get to this point, but he stays on the more of the operations side and a lot of the marketing planning, like with our marketing campaigns and stuff. And then I'm more on the creative and a lot of the formulation. With my background in nursing, I love that side of it. So it took us a bit, but we have our lanes now. And, you know, we also are starting to grow a team. And so that's really helped kind of alleviate some of, because for a while there, we were just drinking out of a fire hydrant. It was nuts. And two people trying to launch something and really hit all the different things that you're supposed to hit before the launch. Like, it was just that stress alone was crippling at times, which I think anyone who's launching a small business will tell you that. So that helped alleviating that and feeling like we're now like kind of getting into a pace. Knock on wood, but just respect and learning our lanes and like understanding, you know, what he's good at and knowing like, you know, what I'm not good at.
Totally. Yes. Whenever the sparks flew, it was definitely my brother giving me an opinion on some design and I wanted to murder him. So I feel you. I think those are incredibly important. So two questions before we wrap. I always like to get into the quirks of people. What is something we'd be surprised to know about you? Could be something odd, embarrassing, funny, a habit, a passion that we don't know about.
I would say I am. So as soon as I get in the house, my husband always jokes with me about how quickly I can change clothes and get in sweats, and not just sweats, but like, I love like my sweats from like college. And so I love fashion and styling and getting all, you know, dressed up, but I would say 80% of the time I exist in like old, like 12-year-old pants and his oversized t-shirts. And he always like makes fun of me because I even like will tuck the t-shirts in and I just look like a terrible bag, look like a bag lady. Like, and he always gives me a hard time about that. So I probably, that is one of the things that we, that you wouldn't expect. Walking around. I definitely am not the one that has like the silk PJs or the
perfectly matched sets. That's what I imagine you're in.
No, I like the more oversized and old, the better.
Yeah.
And I have a pair of house shoes that are like saying like 10, 12 years old. And that's literally what I exist in every day. If I'm at home, that's the kind of stuff that I'm wearing. So he always gives me a hard time about that.
I love it. My last question for you is, what is a piece of advice you'd love listeners to take on, either that you learned the hard way or that someone gave to you that you thought had been valuable?
I'd say listen more than you speak. I have it's simple, but listening to other people's opinions and views and getting different perspectives. My business really has grown from bringing on people that whose views were not like mine and who didn't share that, that the same opinions on everything, because that difference and that perspective, I think, is really valuable. And some of those moments have been, some of the biggest learning curves for me. So listening, for sure.
I love it. Yep. I need to do a lot more of that to my kids.
I know. My husband would be like, yeah, you should do that more when I talk.
Well, where can everyone buy the Nima products, follow you, all the handles and sites?
Yes, Nima.com is our website, and we also, our store, Happily Gray, which is actually in Nashville. If you're in Nashville, come see us. We're on the west side of town, but we also have an e-commerce site, happilygray.com. So you can shop our curated store or Nima at either of those websites.
Awesome. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for always being so incredibly supportive, and congratulations on your newest baby.
Thank you.
Babies,
thank you,
I should say.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
Multiple babies. Thank you, Rebecca. Yes. This has been so awesome, and I'm so excited that we get to connect and excited for everything that's come your way and that you guys are working on.
Awesome. I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram at Rebecca Minkoff, at RM Superwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.